On this episode of Legion, we discover how many Davids are too many Davids, and if there is such a thing. We'll talk about that and so much more right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
There we go. So just close your eyes. Imagine we're mice. There we go. Do you guys know the words to this song?
I don't, but I just want to watch the mouse again.
Right? They should have a music video for
it. I also think that there should have been enough money in the budget where we could have CGI'd a mouse to just dance right now. Or maybe gotten Stuart Little to make a special appearance.
Oh, that's so cute.
Just thinking.
Why didn't we think about that before?
We'll have
just
to
thought
do
of
that.
It now.
Well, there we go. We'll have to do it next time. Welcome to the Legion After Show. Might look slightly different, but you're in the right place. Do not worry. I'm one of your hosts, Amy Cassandra Martinez, and I am joined by two very lovely people. A face that you're familiar with because she's been on the Legion After Show, Ashley Brinkman. Hello.
Ooh, hello. Hi, guys. I love the mouse.
Yeah. So cute.
So cute.
And then we also have Christian Blatt joining us.
Yes, and in the spirit of this show, I'm actually just one of Yael's multiple personalities. I'm the homeless personality that lives in her head. That's why I'm so disheveled.
Yeah, so Yael, Rick, Carrie are not here. They're out on assignment, but don't worry, they'll be back soon. So thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go ahead and dive deep into Season 2, Episode 6, Chapter 14. So many numbers, but one episode.
So many numbers, so many Davids.
So many Davids. I have to say, this was a fun episode for me. I really enjoyed it. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I thought it was really fun, and I liked seeing so many different sides of him and his like progression of each one learning that they have a power.
I think that it was definitely one of the most fun episodes of the season because I don't know. It should have been hard to follow, but somehow them all being David made it easier to follow than maybe a normal week of the show. Like, I love the show, but as I've talked about on Marvel TV Weekly, which I do with Amy and Carrie, actually, I can't watch it at night. I have to watch it during the day because I have two kids, so I get tired. And if you fall asleep during the show, it's not because it's boring. It's because you're it's so confused. It's already kind of confusing. Mm-hmm. And if you fall asleep during it, forget it. So this one, I thought it was great. It was like you had to keep track of the Davids.
Yes.
But I liked that there were so many. And I won't dive into it now, but my favorite thing about the character Legion is that in the comics, he has multiple personalities. Mm-hmm. And each personality has a different power. So the personalities don't look like David, and they're actually very distinct different people. So I hope we're heading in that direction because it's the thing that I've always thought was missing from the show. So I was very excited that we had the multiple personalities this week.
And we also have you in the chat. So if any of you guys have questions, comments, concerns, shout outs, whatever, feel free to jump in there and join us. Okay, so let's go through every single David that we saw. Okay, starting with silent/bald David. So we see him taking a bath, getting a bath.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything at all. So that's obviously something that we're not used to seeing David doing, being quiet.
Right.
Oh, snap.
Just and that, I was assuming that was his sister that was helping him?
I mean, did we really see her face?
Mm-mm. Not really, no.
But I think each one was a different life with his sister. Mm-hmm. What could have been or was or is or whatever.
Yeah, well, and I know that there were some criticisms about the previous episode because it's like we didn't really feel super, super attached with Amy. Not me. Hi, not me. But so some people were saying, you know, it would have been cooler to switch these two episodes because this one, we see the relationships between them two in multiple timelines. So you kind of get that feel for what it was like to, you know, see them together. Something to think about.
Yeah, I think it does work better the way that they did it in the sense that we hadn't thought about Amy, not you, his sister. Yeah. We hadn't thought about Amy in a while, you know, and I had noticed like, oh, didn't his sister used to be on a lot from season one? Yeah. So I think it was like a little jarring and some degree of surprising when you see her and you go like, oh, I see where this is going last week. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to kind of take the step back, like the episode a few weeks ago where it's like, let's take a step back and be all about Sid.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that they're taking their time and just, you know, fleshing out some of these relationships more. It's the sort of thing that probably helps this show work better as a binge. I'm not saying it doesn't work the way it is, but I think when you're able to just sort of dive in and watch like four or six of them in a sitting, it really works when one of them is like, let's give you a little bit more about this. Okay, now the story goes forward. Yeah.
It's a little bit like Jessica Jones was this second season, where you're following a timeline, then they jump back a little bit to give you a little bit of a breather, a little backstory as well. So, okay.
There's a theory in the chat that ties into what you were saying.
Okay.
Seb Russ says, I agree that it was his sister taking care of Bald David, mm-hmm. and Bald David was future box packing David paralyzed by the gunshot wound. I think that's an interesting theory. I had not thought of that. So that's why I wanted to make sure we got that in there.
That's nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, and we see, you know, as the episode goes on, we're introduced to so many Davids that you're like, how many are there? And then they start kind of lining up and it's like, oh, this one's the same as this one. Which brings me to my next point. Intern David, which we see with the coffee.
I loved Intern David.
So cute, but like, kind of scary because he's really just being treated like an intern, like intern life. The struggle is real. Mm-hmm. He turns into billionaire David. So we see him help boss lady, is what I wrote down. And I mean, that's when he's really starting to use his powers of like, hey, I know what's going on. And then he just becomes the richest man in the world and she's asking him to sign papers. How crazy is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that I saw coming. Because I think that was the first connection that we saw, intern David becoming billionaire David.
Boss lady's name is Laura, by the way. Laura. It's referenced later when we see the older version of her.
Oh, that's right. Yes. When she's like, sign this and you'll become the richest man in the world. Thanks, yeah. Laura.
Mm-hmm. I love that line, too. It's just like so simple. Yeah. Like, you are the most powerful.
Well, and then he says to Amy, because she's asking, Amy's asking, why do you still keep her around? Like, who
she's
cares?
Ancient. Yeah. Is what Amy says. Yeah. Not you, his sister.
Yeah. No. Like, this might get confusing.
So confusing.
And he says, she resents me. I like that.
That was such a great line. And it also makes sense. You're like, it's probably good when you can read people's minds. It's like, you know what, let's have somebody around that, you know, knows I can have their thoughts and they still resent me, you know?
Yeah, because everybody else probably just sucks up to him or uses him in some way, except for her.
Well, and it must be kind of scary for her as well to be like, well, he knows everything. And he talked about a little bit about having power and it not necessarily being money, but it's like the power. And like he kind of just went off on a tangent with that. And I was like, okay, David, calm down. Mm-hmm. Then the whole situation where Amy's asking for more houses and he's like, no. And then he gives her a nosebleed.
No more houses. Yeah.
So mean.
It was so mean, but how many houses had she asked for? If, right? You know, and he's like, My husband's banging the masseuse, mm-hmm. and he's like, yeah, but so are you. And he's like, remember, I can read your mind. And then, you know, there's that moment where you're just like, why did you like do whatever you did in her head that made her nosebleed and no more houses? I was like, that was really, that was very jarring because of what the relationship is like in all the other Davids. And I guess that's the one where he's the one in power. So maybe mm-hmm. that's why that one's so different. You know, I thought that was the unique thing about that relationship. She's helping him or in charge of him in all the others. Yeah. That's the one where, you know, he's just like, I'm not going to give you any more houses.
And there's also no control, like, with pills or anything, mm-hmm. like no therapy or anything in that one.
Which brings me to my next one. Mustache David / Dairy David / Sedavid.
Nice. Yeah. He is definitely, right? It's my favorite Ramones song. I want to be Sedavid.
That's good.
Thank you.
I want to be
Okay. No, I don't have one. I feel so left out.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, so this one, we first see him with boxes, and they have, like, dairy signs or whatever, and it says Dairy, that hence Dairy David. He has very low energy. I don't know about you guys, but he reminded me of Napoleon Dynamite. Or he's just like,
Honestly, a little bit, yeah.
It's kind of weird.
But just more sad.
Yeah.
Not funny.
Not funny. And we don't see him like that. Our regular Legion David is not like that. Amy calls to remind him to take his pill, just one, because you remember last time what happened.
Right, but if you think about it, the David that we meet at the beginning of the series in the hospital is at least closer to that. He's not quite mm-hmm. as sedated, but he's really out of it because mm-hmm. you need to keep him basically, you have to keep him down. Yeah. Otherwise, his powers are all going to, you know, well, they're going to manifest themselves in a lot of different ways.
Which they do.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. There's a great comment in the chat from Xavier Jones Jr. Good to see you in there. He says, David is Legion. He has a million different personalities in his head. Uh-huh. He can erase reality. He can create reality. Wrap your head around that. This show could never make sense. I love it. And it's true. There are definitely times where, yeah. And I always, in the back of my mind, I always think every week after the show ends, I'm like, you know, this could, none of this could actually be happening. You know, yeah. And any, like, I thought about that at the end of season one. Did any of this actually happen? Yeah. You know, and you're like, I think so, but maybe not. You know, or maybe it'll be undone, or, you know, David imagined all of it. So it just, the way that it plays with the reality is one of the most fascinating things about the show. And the fact that they're able to have an episode like this. I don't know. I think in a lot of shows, if there was a singing mouse, I would have been like, oh, come on. But I loved the singing mouse on this show.
The singing mouse was my favorite part. But we'll get to that soon. Okay. Help me, guys, on this part. So, Derry David, Sir David, whatever. He doesn't want to take the pills anymore. He's talking to Amy about it. This is the one with the jungle noises, yes. Correct? Mm-hmm. And then he starts seeing the Shadow King, correct? That's the same David?
That's the same one.
That's, yes,
the same
one. He sees the Shadow King monster version.
It's because he didn't take his medication.
Yeah. Farouk, Amal Farouk is the Shadow King. Yeah. But that's like the scary, like, monster version of it that we saw.
That was from season one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which... I prefer this guy. I really do.
You like the scary one.
I do.
You like the scary one?
I do. I really like him.
I was actually kind of scared. Like the eyes and him seeing things.
Yeah, I usually look away when we see him. let me just give you another comment from the chat because Seb Russ again says, we got a glimpse of Farouk in Billionaire David's timeline. So he thinks that either they have an agreement or Farouk is in charge. That's why that David is so successful and doesn't need medication, because he's working with the Shadow King. That's a great theory. I didn't really think of it that way. But because there is that glimpse of him sitting down talking to Farouk. So
I also want to add, I love this comment because I read something and I want to read it to you guys. It could be a reality where David has enough power that he keeps Farouk contained, but it also could be future where Farouk is pulling the strings and he's achieved world domination.
World domination.
I like it. Yeah. I don't think so,
no,
but I like
it. And like there is some kind of agreement where it's like, okay, so Farouk kind of runs everything and I'm just going to do my thing and leave him alone, you know, even though I'm like probably the one person who could be, well... I guess either Legion or his dad are the two people that could really take down the Shadow King. But for whatever reason, Billionaire David is just happy counting his money.
Well, and he had a really nice hair too. Like a really nice outfit. Yeah. You knew that like he had a crap ton of money, but he had no worries in the world.
Right.
At all. Well, at least it didn't look like it.
I like that he started off as like the scared intern that was like kind of like hunched over and terrified to say anything, and then he transforms because of like his experience and money into Farouk. We like see Farouk at the end.
Xavier Jones Jr. says, I think the millionaire is Farouk in David's body. They showed so many different versions of David from both season one and new characters.
Yeah.
At one point, I think I counted up to 16 Davids. I lost track, so I actually don't know. I should have done like a little tally, but and about 6 Amys, so there you go.
That's way too many Amys, let's be real. So wrapping up, so he's the same one that he almost gets arrested, correct? Okay, so then he basically like gets rid of all of the cops, and then Amy's just kind of like there crying like, oh my gosh. So then he just, like, first it's the cops, and then it's the additional cops, and then everything's gone, and then Amy's just there, which I liked. Yeah. That was an interesting, because obviously we're not going in the order. We're going by David. Mm-hmm. So that's how that one wrapped up.
And then possibly, like somebody else said, then they grew old together, and he's in the wheelchair because of the gunshot to his back.
Oh, my gosh.
I like it.
Well, we're going to take a detour from this gunshot in the back talk to something that's very uplifting and that you can listen to that will make you feel so much happier.
So we definitely want to feel happier. So we want to have fun or learn and grow in all areas of your life. For those of you who do, we've got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Mm-hmm. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there, the Legion crew. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. Guys, I've listened to these, and they're so good. They're so great for people in the entertainment business. She gives so many tips.
And I love that it's so accessible, and she's on iTunes just like we are. So if you're listening to us, you can also, you know, give us a thumbs up.
And she gives away this information for free. Like I said, the podcast is free. Like, you could have to pay somebody to, you know, like, help manage your career. No, Maria's like, let me help you.
It's so nice.
Our friend from Marvel TV Weekly, Michael Shirley, is in the chat.
Holy moly!
So he pointed out, I know that we weren't talking specifically about Homeless David, but because it just came up, he mentioned the scene where he gets beat up, which he refers to as the Clockwork Orange scene, because all of the, you know, the guys with the canes and the hats and the shadows, they all look like the droogs, the guys from Clockwork Orange. And yes, I think that's one of the many great things about the show are little nods and homages to things. And the way that reality is so bent, you're like, sure, he could perceive it like that. It doesn't matter if it actually happened. That's what he thought happened. And that was when we saw Pyrotechnic David, which we didn't see that many times. We saw a lot of different ways that he lashed out. But I thought that that was just, you know, just a fascinating scene of like, no, leave me alone, in the way of like, well, if you don't leave me alone, look what's going to happen to you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I wrote, almost gets fully beat up, then bam, powers. It's like, you know, he really didn't want to just use that right away. They just kept bothering him. So now we're going to go to Druggy David, the one with the fries. I really like this David because he explains it to us.
Like, gets it.
Yeah, he gets it, and now we get it. Thank you. He talks about all of these branches, which, how did you guys feel about that, that whole explanation that he gave?
It's funny because that David looks the craziest and, you know, sketchiest and least trustworthy. He's the one that makes the most sense. He's like us. He's like our anchor. He's like, no, no, seriously, this is what's going on. Yeah. He gets it better than anybody, and I think that that's a great point because, like, you know, definitely don't judge your Davids by their cover. You know what I mean? So you see him.
That's a good
and
joke.
Thank you. And you see him and it's just like, you know, he's got it all figured out and he knows. And the scenes with him at the diner are interspersed throughout the episode in exactly the right way. But I think I've eaten at that diner. I think it's in Culver City. But anyway, that's.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was like, I really feel like I've been there. I think it's called the M&M Diner. Anyway, watch. It was on a soundstage and I'm just wrong. But they did a good job. And that David really makes the most sense. And that's really what the whole episode is about. Like all the little branches and how things branch off. But then there are central things that, you know, if a David dies, basically the other Davids actually somehow feel it. And somebody in the chat was sort of alluding these alternate realities and things to like these feelings of deja vu of like, have I met you before?
Yeah.
And so when Homeless David sees Sid drive by, he doesn't actually know her, but he's like,
yeah,
I feel like, you know, you just can't quite put your finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, his mind is splintered in so many different ways, one of his Davids knows her, and you know, they're all part of his mind. So he's just like, oh, that girl really looks familiar. So I don't know. I just think it's fascinating to see all these different aspects of his personality.
Well, and that Sid looked at him too. So I don't know if it was just like, creepy guy staring at me. What are you doing? Or he looks familiar.
I want to say he looks familiar.
Right?
Yeah.
Renji 90998 says, have you ever had a dream where you think you're awake, but thinking you feel different? What if that dream is actually another version of you and your dreams are a bridge to the other you?
Stop. That's awesome.
I'm going to be thinking about that when I sleep tonight.
Well, I feel like, yes, I've had dreams like that where I'm like, I'm awake, but something's strange, and I totally get you and I love your comment.
Well, dreams that are so real that when you wake up, you're like, oh, wait, that was a dream?
Yeah.
Like, this is the real part? Oh, and sometimes you're kind of disappointed because, like, if it was a dream where you're like a secret agent or something. You
oh,
know?
Secret. That's your thing?
I'm okay. Just saying. Look, sure. my wife said she had a dream once where she was Jack Bauer on the show 24.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
She woke so up cool. And she wasn't anymore. And I'm like, yeah, I would go back to that if I could. So, yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, you know, and I think we've all had that. And I'm not even talking about anything, you know, untoward or whatever. Just like, oh, that dream was like so real.
Yeah.
It felt real, you know? And I don't know how. Reality, and Xavier Jones Jr. says, that would be hella crazy, Renji. So there you go.
That reminds me of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the framework. You know, like, if you see, it's just like going to sleep and like living your other life, but it's like, which one's real?
Yeah, I mean, and if you extend it a little further out, it's like the movie Inception, where there's the dream within the dream within the dream within the dream, and then these are the Davids within the David within the David within the David with a mouse on his desk.
Which really,
it all leads back to the mouse.
It always does.
I mean, I think we could all use a mouse in our lives. Well, I mean,
singing
mouse.
Not one that's like hiding under the sink and comes out when the lights go out. I don't want that kind of mouse.
Imagine.
No.
Yes. Okay, so the next David we're going to talk about is Suburban David. Aww.
He's so sweet. So
those kids happy. Wanted waffles.
Oh, and they were laughing.
His wife wanted a waffle, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we could. I mean, all we saw was them waking up. Just almost, you could almost hear the birds chirping like, ah.
Yeah.
And then the kids come in, like, super happy. Everyone's rested, which I'm like, I don't know if that's super real. And then we see them playing.
In a perfect suburban world, everyone's rested.
Everyone's rested. Yeah. Christian, can you speak to that?
Yeah, I have two kids and an Asian wife. So you see, really, that David, obviously.
David.
Yeah, maybe I am a David. I just didn't realize it. And yeah, I think that the part that they looked rested, I'm like, well, no, they have two kids. There's no way. But you never know. Maybe they went to bed at 9 o'clock. So, you know, maybe they don't stay up and try and watch Legion.
Yeah.
So they go to bed.
Well, they're
so
living
they're not
it.
Tired. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't need to watch it on TV. So, but I thought that some of the Davids, you just felt like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's able to actually enjoy life. And most of them, you don't feel that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like our David, our real David, you don't feel like anything about his life is particularly sweet. You know, the scenes with Sid, sure, but you're usually sad for our David.
Well, we don't see the suburban David have any or use any power, right?
No. We see him playing with his kids at the
end.
Yeah,
they're in a pool at one point. Yeah, he doesn't use any of his powers as
suburban
David. So
this David's never brought to the point where he does use his power. Maybe this David never discovers a power because he's so happy.
There's no adversity, perhaps, you know, so he doesn't need to use it.
He can live a normal life.
Oh, guys, that's sad.
No. I mean, if you don't need to use those powers.
Well, I know, but it's because that's... Is that the real... That's not the real David. So that's one... little part of David, but that little part is happy, but the rest of him
that
isn't.
Little part of him wants that
normalcy.
Happiness.
Yeah.
The point that they're making...
I think he finds out with Sid, though.
Is that some of the Davids are literally kept down by drugs, and then this one is just kept down by sort of a life that has, you know, I'm using air quotes, drugged him, you know, in a way where you're just so, like, anesthetized from everything that you don't ever actually... You don't feel anything, you know? And you're just like... I don't need to use my powers. I don't need to read anybody's mind. I don't need to torch anything, you know?
You're high on life.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, he could make s'mores with the kids if he wanted to use some pyro powers. Just thinking. Thinking outside the box, David.
Okay. We're finally going to talk about one of our favorite Davids, Office David.
Oh, yeah. I also called him Pencil Pusher David because that's a term for just a really bad job. And he kept literally pushing his pencil and getting it sharpened.
Which dark, sad office.
That was the saddest office you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've had friends in offices that had formerly been closets. And even those didn't feel as sad as this.
But they didn't have a singing mouse.
No.
With them.
No, they didn't.
Mm-mm.
And, yeah, that David was sad, but he seemed, like, content with his, like, you know, taking notes and sharpening his pencil. And then he's like, singing mouse. How about that?
That was fun because you start the scene, you're like, okay, all right. You come back to it, and he just sees the mouse, and you're like, oh, that's cute. There's just going to be a little CGI mouse just hanging out. And then you hear music, and then you hear lyrics, and you're like, wait a second. Is that mouse moving its mouth? Oh, my gosh, it is. This show can do anything and get away with it. kind of thing.
That was the comment we made from the chat. And that was a great use of music.
Yes.
And then there was another song earlier. It was a cover version, but the original version of the song, it's this band 10 years after. It's called I Like to Change the World. Mm-hmm. And it was obviously, you know, the music is very intentionally placed in this show because it was, mm-hmm. I believe it was during like a montage where I think it might even be when Homeless David sees Sid. So it's just sort of like, yeah, all these Davids can change the world around them. And some of them would be much happier if they could. So I just thought that those were really the only two songs in the show. And the Brian Ferry one is just fun with the mouse. But that one, I think, is kind of a theme throughout the entire episode. So I thought that both of them were used really nicely.
I'm wondering what the purpose of Office David was. Like, what was that there to show us? What, like, why?
That there's probably no adversity in that David's life either, but his, just out of boredom, his power manifests in a way where he's just like, well, what if I could use some like mind control stuff and, you know, get a mouse to sing? Like, he doesn't even realize he's doing it because he's just mm-hmm. that powerful, you know? And I don't know, that's my thought, but, you know.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, it could be anything, you know, so.
It's just another version of a subdued David who's not at his full potential. And that needs to be. I feel like this David, you know, won't ever like live a fulfilled life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he also, because the other subdued David that we see that really like isn't too subdued is Suburban David. But even mm-hmm. with him, like, he's got other people around him. So this is, I would say this is the only time he's by himself.
Yeah, it's just him. Yeah. I mean, and his mouse friend. But maybe that's what it is. He just has that loneliness. Yeah, all the other times he has his sister or, you know, his wife and kids. And then he's just like, I don't have anybody. So I guess I'm having a mouse friend. Maybe that's what Walt Disney did. Maybe he was just lonely and he just wanted a little mouse who could whistle and drive a tugboat. I don't know. Thank you. So sweet. Steve's so good with the sounds.
Okay, next we are going to Crazy David, which is...
You're
going
to need to be more specific because they're right? Crazy David.
So it's the young Crazy David that finds the golf cart, which then turns into Homeless David. That's the old David.
Yes.
Old Homeless David. So we see him find... Well, he has a bag with him. I don't know. I guess clothes. I don't know what's in there.
Stuff.
And then he finds the cart. He's the one that makes eye contact with Sid. And then that's what we talk about. So old Homeless David almost gets beat up. Bam, powers... Special forces try to kill him. Oh, the drone.
Yes.
They bring in the drone.
There was the drone.
Send the drone.
And then he, I want to say this in a cool way, but I don't know if I can. He gets split into two.
By Carrie.
How crazy.
That was very crazy that it was Carrie. And
I was trying to guess. I was Carrie. Like, who is this? Yeah. Melanie, maybe? I don't know.
I'm always hopeful that it's some female character from the X-Men universe that is yet to be introduced. I'm like, oh my God, it's Lady Deathstrike. It was not. There's some people asking for some villains they would like to see on the show. Some fairly like Xavier Jones Jr. is like, how about Dr. Spectrum, Impossible Man, or The Beyonder, or Apocalypse? I'm like, okay, those are – especially Apocalypse because he's already in a movie. He's a movie villain. They're not going to turn up on the show. None of these people are going to turn up on the show, really. But I like that kind of thinking outside of the box. But then it turns out, you know, it's just Carrie, which is an interesting thought because I'm like, is she capable of – if she's somehow able to sneak up on David because of the weird thing that she lives in, you know, male Carrie's mind.
Yeah.
Maybe she can, and maybe she could kill him. I don't know why she would, but that's not really for us to know. So
the
could
drone that did something to his mind. I'm not sure what that was.
Oh, that high-pitched squeal. Yeah. Like, yeah, so obviously it knows that if it does that, he can't think straight. So that's true. That's a good point. That probably allowed her to sneak – or she can sneak up on anybody anyway. Isn't that part of what her deal is? Is like that's why she's so effective?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I made that up.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing with this show. It's like you think you know something and then you're actually not right. Yeah.
Real quick. So a side note. Mm-hmm. Benny, who's Lenny, who's Aubrey Plaza, I don't know.
Yeah.
All those characters made an appearance with this David.
Oh, yeah?
With the shopping cart. That's when he finds the shopping cart and he has the memory of Lenny or Benny, whatever is his like buddy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I didn't even catch that.
No, now that you say it, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But right, I know a lot of this stuff is so fast. This This is a show that, you know, if you're going to talk about it for an hour, you should probably watch it two or three times. But, oh, yeah. I only watched it once, so.
I watched it slowly.
Just slow it down the whole time so everybody
moves. Yeah. I don't want to miss anything, and yet I still. Well, okay, that actually brings me to our last David, I believe. It's our David.
Yay.
So this is the David that's talking with Amy, and Amy's talking about, yeah, they're just sitting down.
Yeah, in my notes, all I could call him was Striped Shirt David. Because that's who he was. He was Striped Shirt David. Shirt. Because at that point, I didn't know anything about him. So I'm like, okay, Striped Shirt David says this. And I'm like, oh, that's our David.
That's our David. I know. It's fun to try and figure out. Because, you know, when you're starting the show, you don't know how many Davids there are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then this is the one that he attempts to commit suicide. And then we see him the next scene that we see both of them together. He's in the car with Amy and she's just talking to him like, basically, you need to get help. And then whoop, bringing us back to the beginning of season one. And then we have the whole montage.
Yeah, it was a lot of like, hey, remember the good times from season one and some of the bad times. But I thought that that was a nice like sort of, you know, him just kind of reliving all of that and bringing us up to speed.
They did a great job with that. I thought it was so beautiful. And it was fluid. It made sense. And then we get to not you, Amy, but the other Amy.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Like, in case
again.
You forgot.
Yeah. In case it wasn't sad enough the first time, let's make you really invested in the character and, like, remind you why she's so important to him. And, okay, there you go.
Yeah. Did you guys – okay, there was a baby David, too.
Yes. We saw baby David, and there's also, like, little boy David just running.
Oh, yeah.
But and baby David, like, reaching up. Oh, yeah, yeah. With, like, bad mustache David. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes. That's the scariest David of all. But, yeah, the baby David was reaching for something. So I thought that was interesting.
Reaching
I mean,
for you happiness. Just
had, man.
Oh, normalcy.
Keep reaching.
Keep reaching.
Keep your feet on the ground again. And keep reaching for the stars, baby David.
Maybe in another life, David.
Yeah. Well, maybe in another David.
Another David. Another day.
Timeline. Anything else that you guys really liked about the episode?
I think overall, it was really great. I do see why some people would say this episode would have been great last week and, mm-hmm. you know, flip-flop it.
Mm-hmm.
But even watching it, I still really feel and like Amy now, and it's mm-hmm. so devastating.
Yeah.
So moving forward, I think we will see more of her in glimpses and parts, and so I'm happy about that because I think, you know, I'll feel for her and be so happy to see her in another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flashback possibilities.
Yeah, I just like seeing the all, you know, basically the different possibilities for who David could be and what he could be doing and just his potential, which we've really barely seen the tip of, I think, on the show. We know how incredibly powerful he is. And I think Farouk realizes how powerful he is, but he knows that he's so distracted and, you know, just fragmented that he can kind of play him a bit. But just like the way that the drugs or any of the other things that were keeping him down in life, you kind of have to keep him where he's at. You can't have him be clear-headed and reaching his full potential because then he can do basically anything and he'll be able to basically wipe out the Shadow King, you know. And now he's angry. And he wants to take out the Shadow King, but he's just completely ignoring what future Sid told him,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is you have to help him find his body because he doesn't seem like he wants to help him, which I understand. So I don't know, just it gave you so much to think about, even though it didn't advance the story from the end of last episode mm-hmm. at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you think so much about where it could go, you know, and it's kind of like it's I think it works really well as, like I said before, as it's coming right after last week. And then it's just like, well, let's just kind of see what got us to that point and, you know, all these different possibilities. But anyway. So.
Did we catch what Farouk says at the end? Something about you make all the choices. It's your choice.
Oh, yeah. Like I
you decide what is real and what is not.
Yeah.
And he says something about your will. Hmm. So, yeah.
You will it too.
Yeah. So you decide what is real and what is not. So, I mean, that is part of his powers is just the ability to bend reality. So
I hope that's foreshadowing something really cool for next week.
We'll get to not spoiler because we don't know. We don't know the future, guys. Sorry.
No, but if you watch Coming Attractions, you have like some kind of spoilery glimpse. Idea. So I have an idea of some spoilers because of that. But
we'll get into that in like 5 seconds. But I did want to send not. Well, actually, we don't know if he's watching Dan Stevens. If you are watching, he did such an amazing job playing so many different versions of David. Like, yes, you know, obviously hair, makeup, like everyone helped, but it was like each little part was just, even the little tiny differences in his mannerisms were just so different that I really enjoyed.
I mean, you got to figure that that had to be fun because it's like you have to be all these different characters, but at the same time, you have to make sure that it's still the same guy. Right. So you can't be completely different. You know, your backstory is completely different. And just before we move on, that's why I wanted to talk about David literally has millions of personalities, as they talked about. But in the comics, there's two main ones. And there's like an old guy named Jack Wayne, who's a telekinetic. And one of them is a girl named Cindy, who is the pyrotechnic, that's the fire one. And then the other one is like it's a terrorist named Jamal that he absorbed, which is just read the comics and you'll understand how he does it. That's the one that's a telepath. So each of those personalities has a different power. So like I said, we have the hint of that. So I think it'd be interesting if Dan Stevens, I don't know how you get him to play Cindy, but maybe you do. You can definitely do it. So if he starts to manifest the different personalities that are not David, I think that, you know, this was kind of the first step towards that. So and there's such a long list of other David personalities that are from years after I stopped reading the comics. So I just went with the three greatest hits. But so it's just it's something to really keep in mind that, you know, this show can do whatever it wants. So who knows what we'll see.
And riding that wave, can we go ahead and just get official prediction music and lights and all that jazz so we can fully delve into what we think is going to happen next episode? Okay. Thoughts. What do we think? Especially with everything that you just told us.
There's other personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that David's going to get into a situation where he, one, finds Farouk's body, and he's so angry that he's going to probably be very close to killing it. And he's either going to be visited by future Sid or be reminded of what she said. Is like, you know, something worse is coming. And I think that if the season ends and we go back and look at even this episode or some of the others, we're going to realize what that was. We don't quite know what it is just yet that's coming, that's actually something where you're going to need the help of the Shadow King. Because he is so powerful, but you need to have a common interest with him, which clearly they don't at this point. So I think David's not going to be able to kill him. He's going to be in a position where he could get him, you know, and something's going to pull him back. And I don't know, maybe male scientist Carrie, because we have to differentiate. Maybe he figures out a reason why, like, you can't kill him, like, because this is what we need him for. So I think that's going to be a tough decision for him. And, you know, it's probably not going to sit well with him.
I wonder if Oliver is going to make that decision for him, because Oliver wants to kill him too.
That was fascinating because he was so sure of it in last week's episode. He's like, well, I'm going to kill you. And it was in a way where I'm like, oh, Oliver's going to kill him. But I think Oliver, that could also factor into what I'm thinking, is that Oliver could be about to kill him. And then even though David wants to kill him, he's like, I have to stop this.
Yeah. Because future Sid said so.
And by the way, I have a theory that I put out on Marvel TV Weekly that future Sid is actually a manifestation of Farouk, who's just trying to play David, and there is no future Sid. So that's just my thought that I had, that I'd like to be wrong, but I'm just putting it out there in case I'm right. Then I'll pull this clip and I'll show it on our show and be like, look, I was right.
Oh, I just – that would be devastating, but that's such a great, great prediction.
It would be a great twist.
Yeah. I think – I feel like I'm kind of on the same page with you. They may find his body and hold it hostage. But Farouk, I think, is just so cool. Like, I don't think he really has a worry or really truly worries that they're going to kill him. I think that, yes, future Sid is going to have such an impact that they will eventually give his body back to him.
I mean, he wants to get back to his body, but at the same time, he's been away from it for so long. He's like, I'm fine. I'll get to it. I'll figure it out. Or maybe I use that device and take somebody else's body. You know, I mean,
that's... Yeah, he could jump from body to body and keep living.
Right. I mean, and it's alluded to in a past episode where, you know, David says, well, he was defeated by my father, who we know that his father's Charles Xavier. And at least at a certain point, like in the 70s in the comic, that was... what we knew about the Shadow King was that he got into this like huge, like, you know, telepath mental battle with Professor Xavier. And he like basically killed his like, you know, mental abilities. And he just fell like face first into his soup. So I think it's something that we'll possibly see happen. But we won't see Professor Xavier on the show. I feel like we never will. And it's just, there's, it almost makes it too easy, but it's what I really want. More than anything, I just want to, even just one episode, I just want to see him, and he doesn't have to come and save David. You know, it's like how on Supergirl, like some, like when she's really in a problem, Superman comes and helps out. Like, we don't need that.
I mean, well, we don't know though. We had a singing mouse. Like,
anything can happen.
I am not comparing Professor Xavier to
maybe the singing mouse was Professor Xavier trying to deliver him a message.
Done. I would also like to see Sid have like a larger role. I think in the last few episodes, it's just like.
I think she will. I think that we spent a whole episode with Sid for a really important reason that we don't know yet. Yeah, exactly. That we'll know at the end of the season.
Make sure you guys let us know in the comments down below what you think is going to happen next episode. I really have no idea. Do you have any questions?
Jimmy Zip in the chat says, I'm with the David needs to kill Farouk team. Hashtag kill Farouk.
Ooh.
Xavier Jones likes my theory about future Sid being Farouk. Jimmy Zip also says, it's taking me a while to notice that the two mustache twins are played by David's sister. Is that true?
We didn't think so, but they're actually not David's sister, but they do look like her.
Right.
Like there's a similarity in the mustaches.
Which, how can you forget
when you're tired and falling asleep during the show? That's the weirdest thing. You're just like, what?
They're definitely different actors. They're all three different people, but I don't know if they're his sister.
I mean, I feel like we would have already seen something like tied in to that.
Right.
That's a good point though. So if we don't have any more questions, thank you guys so much for watching. Again, make sure to give us a thumbs up, 10 thumbs up, as many as you'd like. Subscribe, obviously, to...
Give us as many thumbs up as there were Davids in this episode.
Done. I like how you put that. Yes, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel here. And then also on iTunes, give us 5 stars. They won't let you give any less, so...
Just 5 Davids. Give us 5 Davids.
Just 5 Davids. Yeah. Yes, of course. So then we'll see you guys next time. If you guys want to just shout out where, you know, people can find you.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, you can find me, Amy, Carrie, and our friend Michael Shirley Sunday nights at 10, the new home for Marvel TV Weekly on this same channel, the AfterBuzz TV sci-fi fantasy superheroes channel. And if, you know, you're on the East Coast and Sunday night at 10 p.m. Pacific, it's past your bedtime. It's fine. You can subscribe. You can watch the archive on YouTube. You can find us. We talk a lot about Legion. We talk a lot about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We talk about the movies. We talk about the comics. We talk about everything. We're talking a lot about this show right now. So you can find us there. And you can find me at ChristianDMZ, Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. You guys can find me on social media at Ashley_Brinkman. Thanks, guys. Good night. It was so lovely talking with you guys.
Yes.
Amy, where do people find you?
Oh my gosh. Thank you for asking. Well, yes. First of all, thank you for tuning in. You could have chosen anything else, but you chose us. So thank you so much. You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Just follow me there. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. All of that is linked on my Instagram. So you'll just find me because... I'm everywhere. A lot of Marvel stuff.
A lot of reacting to trailers. You can find that. Yeah.
A lot of like Marvel trailers. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for everything Marvel coming out. So pumped. But yes, so make sure that you guys stay tuned for next week as the regularly scheduled programming panel will be back. Yes.
We'll see you then.
Yes, of course. Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.